And if you believe what she was playing, say amen. You don't even know what she was. The song goes, Jesus is coming again. And we believe that, do we not? Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening. The songwriter wrote, maybe soon. I always change the word and say, surely soon. I'm looking forward to that day when we meet him in the air. What a joy it is to be in Bible study tonight. So good to see you. I trust you've had a wonderful day. Those of you that are watching online, we're delighted that you are joining in with us. We love you. We miss you. We long for the day that we will be able to see you again face to face. You know, as we go through these uncertain days, what a joy it is to know the certainty of our God. And if you look hard enough, you will find reason not to rejoice. You will find reason to be gloomy and sad. And you will even find reason to stop singing. But I found an old hymn that we love to sing. It's entitled, He Keeps Me Singing. It mentions that there is within my heart a melody Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. What a message the church needs to hear tonight, that we have a God who is faithful and all-powerful and in control and brings peace to our soul, that we need not fear in all of life's ebb and flow, and He is the one that keeps me singing as I go. We'll do three verses of it. It'll be on the screen. Stand if you would. Let's begin our Bible study. Concentrate on the words and see if your spirit doesn't get lifted.
There's a melody Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In of all life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Oh, my life was wrecked by sin and strife, this could fill my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken string, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for another awesome day, Lord. Lord, thank you for the blessings you give this church each and every day. Father, many times we try to rush ahead of you, but when we wait upon the Lord, the blessings will come. Father, I want to thank you for all the stuff you're doing for Plantation Baptist Church, from the building fund to the KFC to the teen group. You've blessed us so richly, Lord. Father, I just ask you to be with us tonight as we get a Bible study from Pastor. We need to open our ears and our hearts to hear the message. Father, I just ask tonight that someone might not know the peace of God. May tonight be the night that they accept you as their Lord and Savior and receive the peace of God in their heart. When they receive the Lord, they get a peace just comes over your whole body, and you know where you're going to be when you get to heaven one day, and that book opens up, and your name is written in there. Father, be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, you may be seated. I dropped my ink pen here. And welcome to Bible study. And I trust that you're excited to be here. Trust that God was going to meet with us And I do have much to share with you. And usually, before COVID, we had a Wednesday night prayer sheet, and we would go around the room and we would take requests and do all of that. I do look forward to getting back to that as we begin to make our way back into our regular routine. I'm fighting very, very hard against two words that I have come to despise. And those two words that I've come to despise are the words new normal. And I don't think that the church should be open to a new normal. We should be open to thus saith the Lord, right? And so I'm looking forward to getting back to our routine. I would join with Brother Joey in just praising God for what he's doing in our midst, and for the answered prayer that he has in the lives of our people. The very fact that Lisette is walking up the aisle over there is on my thing to give God glory. And we reckon God's good, the great physician's touch on her body. And we say amen to that. So good to have you. And we thank God for that. Many others tonight are just celebrating the wonderful answer to prayer. The Coyne family, I'm not sure if they're watching or not. They had to make an emergency trip to Indiana, and they are trusting God or thanking God for traveling mercies as they made their way up there. And they have a family issue that they need their church family to pray over. And so if you remember the Coyne family, if you have an Ink Pen church family and you wanted to write some things down, take some of these requests that are coming from our people tonight as they are asking their church to pray. We're giving praise. Geneva Pamphilia is giving praise for little Sierra. We prayed for her. She's come through her surgery, and we thank God for that. Judy Delegat, I look in the back because her seat is empty tonight. She's finalizing her chemo and her radiation treatments here pretty soon. She's been in a lot of pain, and I just want to lift her up tonight. Thank you to the ladies in our church. You know who you are that are ministering to her. To God be the glory for you. Brother Kendrick Adderley, you may not know Kendrick. He's been coming to our church for a long time. We prayed for his dad. His dad did pass and go to be with the Lord. He passed in the Bahamas. Both Kendrick's mom and dad had contracted COVID-19. Mom is doing better, but dad did go home to be with the Lord. I think about COVID-19. I think about our dear brother Brian Joint. His mom and dad were both ill. His mother is still very ill. If you would pray for Brian Joint's mother, I know he would greatly appreciate that. Karen Fuller is awaiting test results, and we've been praying for Karen. Tiffany Hernan is asking prayer tonight. She is going to have to go through some medical procedures. The word medical procedure seems innocent. These are not innocent. She is going to go through some difficult times. Tiffany needs our prayers tonight. She's strong in the Lord, and she's trusting her church family to pray. Brother Joey's wife, Tamara, is asking prayer for a young man named Anthony. He's 15 years old. He has brain cancer, and she wants prayer for him, for his soul. Tamara's also asking prayer for her job situation. She's in the airlines industry, and you understand how the airlines industry is being affected through all that we are going through. So please, please, please pray for that. Joy Allington, and I'm sure she's watching online. She's not able to be here tonight. She's begging God for the salvation of her grown children. Joy has been renewed in her walk with the Lord, and her burden is that her children would come to faith in Christ. If you are a parent and you know Jesus, you want your children to know Jesus. And if you could get saved for them, you would do it. If you could give your heart to them, you would do it. You know, the Apostle Paul said that he would be accursed for his brethren. You almost get to that point when you have kids. You just so desperately want them to know the Lord. God has been working in those relationships. And so lift Joy, if you would, to the throne of grace. Jimmy Weatherford let me know that his cousin Kathy has contracted COVID-19. He's not been around her, but she has contracted it. Jimmy wants prayer for his cousin. Jimmy's probably watching online tonight. Debbie Turkenkoff is asking prayer. She's desiring to be able to go home for her care. Debbie's been fighting illness for a long time, and she just needs the doctor to give her permission to go home so she can do her home care. And she is desperately asking God for that. Pat Cavanaugh is one of many of our dear brothers and sisters who finds themselves in care facilities. And whether that be assisted care, total care, or mediatory care, very difficult. What our shut-in folks are dealing with right now is loneliness, discouragement, isolation, and difficulty. So she's asking prayer for peace of mind. She's asking prayer for comfort. And we need to lift up those that find themselves in that position. So if you know Pat, and for others, please take them to the throne of grace. And I see Ricardo right here. Ricardo has a friend, Lazaro. We've prayed for Lazaro before. Lazaro may have even attended our church a time or two. I'm not sure. But has pancreatic cancer. And so we're praying for this man. And, of course, praying that he would know the Lord as his Savior. If he does know the Lord, I'm praying that he would be drawn close to the Lord through all of this. And so many things that are on our prayer sheets tonight. And I thank you for that. I thank you, church family, for the ministry that you're doing. Ministry that I don't know about. Phone calls you're making. Prayers. Interceding that you are doing. Meals that you are providing. Discipleship that is going on. Encouragement that is happening. I know that is happening outside of our church property. And I just want to thank you so much. Speaking of our church property, we have a lot going on, and we're trying to finish now the drain pipes on the property. And the last stretch that we have is around the back of the property. So you notice, as you probably came in tonight, on the west east side, they're digging there, and they're putting all those big 36-inch pipes around the back. And we did hit a little snag today that we were unaware of with some water pipes. Well, praise God, he walked us through that. After we broke them, he walked us through that. But that's okay. He walked us through it. And so we thank the Lord for that. You're giving, and the giving is coming in, and the provision there. And so I'm excited to see. So once, Lord willing, in the next few days, they'll get those pipes laid. They'll level that ground out there, fix it all up, and we should be ready to pour concrete here as our next step in some electrical work there. So I, by faith, that thing is not right. We should have 69 spots that have been. Actually, we're almost closer to 70 when it comes in. Each one of those spots represents $9,100. I say God is good. Amen. And good all the time. And so thank you, Lord, for your wonderful provision. If you were not in our service on Sunday, we had another lady trust Christ in our service this Sunday. That makes four people that I am aware of that have come to faith in Christ in about the last 7 or 8 days. And so we rejoice in that, and our spiritual growth as well. And so I'm excited. God is bringing new people to Plantation Baptist Church. You look around tonight and you see people you may not know. Make sure that you greet them, get their name, welcome them. And we're excited. Pray, if you would, please. Our school will be opening up a week from today. And our teachers are back and they're preparing. And we've got a lot of changes that are going on. And some I will let you know about as we move forward here. But we just are trusting God's leadership and his provision during all of this. So pray that we'll have a good start to school, a safe start to school, an organized start to school, and a wonderful spiritual start to school. And so it's a lot of that opportunity is going on. I would ask you, you remember I made an announcement a couple weeks ago about Dan Jackson. He turns 95 this week, and we wanted to have like 95 birthday cards to give him on Sunday. If you haven't written a card to him, would you please bring a card? If you're listening online, if you could get a card and just sign your name. You don't know him, doesn't matter. Just write an encouragement note there. When I write a card for somebody I don't know, I usually just ask God, what do you want me to say? He'll give me a verse, he'll give me a thought, he'll give me a truth, and I write my name down there and sign that to that, and it'll be such a blessing. I would say 95 years of life on this earth is something to be celebrated for. And we will rejoice for all of that. So much, much going on. Our children's ministries are meeting tonight. Our youth ministries are meeting tonight. And it is just good to be in the house of the Lord. I wanted to just go right across the page in our hymn book, but you don't have a hymn book. But I wanted to go from the part of the Lord Jesus is the one that keeps me singing to the sunshine that he brings in our soul. We saw a lot of clouds today and a lot of rains today. This is an old hymn, but it really talks about the blessing that the Lord is within our soul. It's a hymn that lifts out of discouragement, depression, isolation, low self-esteem. It talks about the ability for the soul to be refreshed and nourished in a miraculous way from the Lord. We won't do all the verses, just three of them, I think 1, 3, and 4. Stand if you would. I trust you have sunshine in your soul tonight from the S-O-N of God.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and love and praise for blessings which he gives me now, for joys in future days. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Amen. Be seated if you would. Take your Bible tonight. Find if you would the 6th chapter of the book of Esther. Esther chapter 6 will be our text tonight as we continue our study in our series in the book of Esther. Before the service tonight, I was making my way through the children's ministry, and Brother Danny Espinosa is teaching the children tonight. And he asked me, he said, Pastor, what are you preaching on tonight? And I said, well, I'm preaching from the book of Esther, the 6th chapter, and told him a little bit about all of that. I'm having a hard time finding Esther right now. And I'll find it here. Esther, pardon. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Old Testament. I got it. My Bible just doesn't want to open up to, there she is. It's page 796, 510 in my Bible. You know, I have weird dreams and my dream just came true that I announced the passage and I can't find it in my Bible. Praise the Lord. It's not crazier ones. He looked at me and he said, I think my job tonight's harder than your job. Okay. He said, tell me about it. He said, we're teaching the Ten Commandments inside our children's ministry. I thought, well, that's great. You know, we love the Ten Commandments, right? And you hang them on your wall, you celebrate them. And I think he's teaching 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th grade. And he got the lucky commandment tonight, thou shalt not commit adultery. I said to Brother Danny, I said, you do have a harder job than I do tonight. I said, tell me how you're going to do this, right? Because he said, don't worry, I got it all figured out and I won't scare him. So I love him. He knows the Lord. And We'll just trust you. Your parents are leaving the building now. You know, they're going to get their kids. Think about teaching a second grader, thou shalt not commit adultery. Where are you going to start? Danny's going to start with marriage. And so I think that's a good place to start. And by the way, we ought to teach our children that God created marriage and marriage is of God. And the biblical view of marriage. So praise the Lord for good, solid Bible children's ministry. All right, our text finds us in the sixth chapter. I promise you tonight that Esther chapter number 6 could fall into a line that you have said many times. Maybe you have said it in the movie theater. Maybe you've said it in your living room or as you're watching some type of movie and you're getting somebody else to watch the movie you like for the very first time. And you're one of those people that just can't keep your mouth shut, right? You're the type of person where you gotta say, you gotta pay attention here. Don't miss this. Oh, I know it's scary now, but it gets better. Yeah. My wife does that to me for Hallmark. I hate it. But you find yourself saying sometimes, if you miss this part, you won't understand the movie. If you miss Esther chapter 6, you won't understand the movie. Verse number 1, please. On that night, could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains. Chamberlains were the king's eunuchs. They were in charge of the harem. Of course, the king would put eunuchs in charge of his harem. You understand why. The keepers of the door who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? He saved his life. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there's nothing done for him. The king said, who's in the court? This would be the area outside of his palace. This would be an area where visitors would regard. This would be an area where council would develop. Who's in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Bible scholars differ on what those gallows were, if they were like you would see in the old Western where they were actually hung, or if it was a post with a big spike coming up on it where they were actually punctured through. But this was the way that Haman wanted to murder Mordecai. Verse number 5. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to me? That's just like a man, right? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. Let this apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Haman just planned his own party. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai. You just gotta believe God's got a sense of humor, man. Mordecai, the Jew. that sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Oh boy. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Mordecai, or Haman, is having a very, very bad day. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered, like you would mourn at a funeral. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men, and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, you're a dead man. Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. And while they were yet speaking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. My, oh my, how the tables have turned. I want to preach to you tonight a message entitled, The Wise Know. The Wise Know. Our series in the book of Esther is concentrated and focused on the theme of the providence of God. We know the providence of God to include the sovereignty of God. We know the providence of God to include all that God is and all of his abilities. His omniscience and his all-knowing, his omnipotence and his strength, his omnipresence and his ability to be anywhere and everywhere at all at the same time, his immutability. I love what, there's many different definitions on the providence of God as you read. I love the one that said it's God's concentrated attention 24/7. I love that. Most people don't understand that God is concentrated on them 24/7. Most people would be terrified if they thought that God was concentrated on them 24/7. But for the child of God, we praise God that we are never a moment without his concentration. And as concentrated as he is on one, he's as concentrated as on the other. The book is written to show power of God. His name is not mentioned. His hand is everywhere. It's a beautiful moment of deliverance in the nation of Israel. The writer is writing to give testimony and glory to the Lord, but he's also writing to encourage you and I. Just as you read the book of Esther with its heights and its lows, with its drama, with its danger, with all of the movement that is going on, there are times you can ask the question, where are you, God? Why are you not moving, God? How can this be part of your plan for my life, God? Why would you let it be this way? And yet as those questions come about, as you read the book of Esther, as the book unfolds, you find that God does all things with purpose. Sometimes in our lives, we get into the moments where we have those same questions. Very difficult are these questions when they're asked by people who do not have God in them. I had a conversation today with a man about not confronting, but ministering to an atheist. How do you do that? People that have questions and they want spiritual answers. And sometimes that spiritual answer just demands the Holy Spirit of God being in you. The Bible says the natural man, the unsaved man, they don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto them, neither can they know them. Because it's the Holy Spirit of God that illumines the Scripture. It's the Holy Spirit of God that applies the Scripture in our lives. And sometimes you just need the Holy Spirit of God in order to understand those type of truths. When it comes to the book of Esther, we should learn that as we have these questions, that God is always working. Difficult are these questions asked by unsaved people. very difficult, probably more hurtful, are they asked when they're asked by the child of God. Very sad is it when the child of God lets the circumstances of their life have more power than the God of their life. Very sad when we let the clouds of our life block our faithful view of the sunshine of our soul. And so as the believers tonight in the Lord and in our Bible study, as we've been making our way through the book of Esther, I trust that you've been able to gain wonderful confidence, wonderful hope. I trust as you've reached moments of despair, moments of perplexation, as they did in chapter number 3, that you've been able to use these truths about God. Just because you don't hear His name, or just because you don't see His moving, or you don't understand His presence, that you would be able to encourage yourself by the wonderful Word of God. As you came into chapter number 6 tonight, chapter number 5 ended with just a heinous and wicked, almost out of mind thing. When we ended chapter number 5, Haman was on top of the world. He had his plan to destroy the Jews. He thought within himself that he was moving up in the king's realm. Queen Esther has prepared this banquet that only Haman and the king were going to attend. And he was having a very, very, very good day. He comes down in the end of verse number 14 of chapter number 5. He tells his wife all about it and his friends. You have the description of the gallows, or the council of the gallows to be made. And the advice, tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then that go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. That's insanity, to murder somebody and then go feast. And then the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. When you end chapter number 5, you just kind of believe that Haman's going to win. I find that to be true in life sometimes. Sometimes we can get to the position where we just kind of feel like God's going to lose. I got news for you. God has never lost a day in all eternity, and He ain't going to start in your life. It's amazing how we think that sometimes. And chapter number 6 is needed because it's the moment in the story when God shows Himself strong. It's the moment in the story where God begins to really move and work and unfold and reveal all that He has been doing, what He is going to do. This is when God is moving the players into the final position. And if you don't understand what happens in chapter number 6, then you kind of miss out on how we get into chapter number 7. And so I want to take chapter number 6 and just go through it and give you some truths tonight to encourage the people of God, to encourage us in times of perplexation. And I get that word from the end of chapter number 3, verse number 15, where it talks about, as the news went out that the Jews were going to be exterminated, that Haman was going to reap this vicious war against them with the permission of the king, it brought a horrific perplexation to the nation. And they were living in that perplexation. And they were praying and fasting and trusting for God to move, and for God to move powerfully. And God is moving powerfully. And chapter 6 is an illustration of that. If you have an ink pen tonight, would you please write down my 5 statements? You're going to need them. They're going to be precious to you. You're going to need to remember them, and you're going to need to apply them in your life. Write statement number 1 down, if you would, please. To encourage God's people when they're perplexed, this statement: God works in and through the night. Notice, if you would, please, Esther chapter 6, verse number 1. The first 3 words are, on that night. The day was horrific. The day was horrible. The day was filled with evil. The day was dangerous. The day looked like total loss. The day was filled with no hope and perplexation. But praise God, God works in and through the night. I love what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. He said, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor what, class? Sleep." The night here can be a physical, as he's working through this physical night. But many times for the child of God, it can be the spiritual night. You know, nights can be long, can't they? If you have children, it seems like they're always okay in the day and they get very sick at night. Seems like they don't run the fever until 2 o'clock in the morning or when it's nighttime or the difficulty of these. Sometimes in our lives, the physical night is hard, but the spiritual night is hard. And exhausting and difficult and long and painful and troublesome. And sometimes it's hard to find peace in the physical night, and it's hard to find peace in the spiritual night. And when you're in that position and you're perplexed, I think the book of Esther would remind you that God does not sleep nor does he slumber. That God does not stop working in the night. God works through the night. Lamentations, the writer wrote that his mercies are new every morning. You know, I've seen God do a lot of miracles overnight. If you've ever seen him do a miracle overnight, say amen. Pastor, pray for me. I got to visit my boss. A miracle's been done. Pastor, I got a doctor's thing I got to do tomorrow. And a miracle happens in the night. You know, I just see God working in verses 1 to 3 when it comes to the king here. And the king is dealing with sleeplessness, right? Restlessness. He could not sleep. I see God using his sleeplessness. I see God even working in his choices and in his thoughts. You know, if you remember, King Ahasuerus is a very sensual man. He could have found a lot of things to entertain himself when he could not sleep. And yet, God moved him in his mind. God moved him in his choice. He could have called a maiden. He could have called somebody from the harem. He could have called a lot of things. But God led him to read a book, the book of the Chronicles. And located in that book of the Chronicles was the story about how Mordecai had spoke up about a coup that was being arranged on the king's life. I got news for you. The king didn't find that by himself. God led him to that. I find where God was working in his thoughts. God was dealing with him. God was bringing about to him the desire to exalt and to reward this work. I just think tonight, point number one, when you get to Esther chapter 6 and you come to this difficult night, you need to be encouraged that even though you may be perplexed and even though you may be passed out and you may be emptied out, your God is able to work in and through the night. Number two, from verses 1 to 3, I also take the point that God sees my faithfulness when no one else does. God sees me when no one else does. God sees me stand for truth when no one else does. God sees me stand on faith when no one else does. God sees my obedience. God sees the little things. God sees those little victories in my life when I was able to put off my flesh, or when I was able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, or when I was able to speak a word of truth. God sees my faithfulness when no one else does. And by the way, the fact that God sees it ought to be sufficient for us. Not only does God see, he will reward. When you study verses 1 to 3, you understand that the event that is recorded in the books of the Chronicles happened way earlier. This was not something that was recent. This was something that had been recorded. This is something that was history. Matter of fact, when you read the book of Esther, you will find that Mordecai's moment here where he rescues the king happens prior to the promotion of Haman. If anybody really deserved to be promoted by the king, it should have been the man that saved his life, not the man that's trying to take his job. If anybody would have had a right to say, God, you screwed this up. God, you didn't do right. God, you mistreated me. I guess they were right. It doesn't pay to serve God. If anybody could have said those words, Mordecai could have said those words. You know, I find that those words, even hearing myself say them, grates on my ears, but those are words that can come out of a Christian's mouth. Those are words that can come out of our moments when we think God has treated us unfair, or God hasn't seen the hard work we've put in. He hasn't seen the sacrifice that we've done. He hasn't seen the moments of faithfulness. We don't think he sees the moments of victory. I got news for you tonight, child of God. God sees everything you do. And he will work for a reward on that. Mordecai's reward is coming. Mordecai doesn't know it. Mordecai's under a death sentence. But God is working. You have a reward of faithfulness coming. You may question it. You may not value it. You may not understand it. But one day, child of God, you're going to stand before God and you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. One day you're going to stand at something called the judgment seat of Christ. This is a place where only the believer will stand. And we will stand there not to give an accordance for our sin. I'll never stand in judgment for my sin. My sin, like your sin, has been covered by the blood. But I will stand in judgment or recognition for how I serve God. I have a public ministry. You see your pastor weekly. I stand here and preach as your pastor. But I, in essence, am your pastor 7 days a week. But way before I was ever your pastor, I was Thomas Alexander Hunter Jr. And even now, I might be your pastor with a public ministry, but I have moments of personal faithfulness, moments of personal struggle, moments of personal walk, just like you do. There are times when I, like you, suffer defeat. But there are times like you when faith is the victory that overcomes the world. When God intervenes in my life, God strengthens me. And there are times in my personal life where I've done things that, for the glory of God, that nobody's ever seen, just like you have. But I promise you, one day we're going to stand before him and a book is going to be opened. And every one of those things that you think nobody ever saw or you never were rewarded on, your Savior is going to reward you in that moment, and it will be worth it all. Why would I tell you that? So you stay faithful. So you stay trusting. It's very interesting in verses 4 and 5. Stay faithful and stay trusting in the perfect timing of the Lord. I really do think that the timing of God is so important in the book of Esther. You know, we don't believe in haphazard, or we don't believe in chance. We don't believe in fate. These are not things that a Christian would believe in. We believe in the sovereign will of God. And I love the fact that God is moving here and he's working to accomplish his will in this moment. And he's got it all arranged up, and he's just got the perfect timing. The king has read. The king is looking for counsel. Verse number 4, the king asks who's in the court. And of all the people in that whole palace to be in the court, Haman is there. I submit to you, God has perfect timing. Number 3. God knows hearts. And God can use wicked motivation to accomplish His will. This needs to encourage the child of God because we have enemies. This needs to encourage the child of God when the person at work is trying to dig you or trying to get one over on you or they've falsely accused you. God knows the motivation of Haman. He knows this wicked motivation to destroy His people. He knows Haman's heart. And God, listen very carefully to this child of God. God would change Haman's heart if Haman would let Him change his heart. But God doesn't have to change Haman's heart to use Haman. Pastor, would you just pray that God would change these people's hearts? They're driving me nuts. No. No. God doesn't have to change their hearts to accomplish His will. God can use anything, and God can use anyone. It's interesting. What was God's will in that moment? God's will in that moment was to exalt Mordecai. And God was able to use the wicked manipulation of Haman as he unfolds and gives his counsel. Look, if you would, at verse number 6, with the thought at the end of that, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? It reminds me of a Bible principle. Think not more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Could I just read, would you hold your hand here and go to Psalm 33? I found these verses in our study and I just think you need to hear them as the child of God. I think they're a wonderful blessing to us. Especially will they be as we learn from the book of Esther, how God knows hearts. God is able to use wicked motivation to accomplish His righteous will. Psalm 33, look if you would at verse number 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth how long, class? Forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their heart alike, He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. If that's you, would you say amen? I love that. Upon them that hope in His mercy. To deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart shall rejoice in Him because we've trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. So powerful and so important is this in the life of a believer, especially as you're studying the book of Esther, because God really didn't change the heart of Haman. He's working and He's using that manipulation and he's working to exalt Mordecai. He's got to expose Haman. He knows what he's doing. His eye is upon them that fear them. He's going to deliver that soul. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help. Listen, no matter what situation you're in tonight, no matter what trouble you're in, what testing you're in, what problem you deal with, the Lord is our help. He's your help, and He's your shield, and that ought to bring our hearts to rejoice. God works in and through the night. God sees my faithfulness when no one else does. God knows hearts and He uses wicked motivation to accomplish His righteous will. Fourthly, God giveth grace to the humble, and He will always resist the proud. God giveth grace to the humble, and He will always resist the proud. Verses 7 to 10, you see God resisting the pride of Haman. You see God moving now against Haman. All of a sudden, the tables are turned. Haman goes from completely being in charge to completely being charged. Goes from being in control to out of control. Plans made that are turning upon him. How is this all possible? God is moving. God will always resist the proud, and He will give grace to the humble. 1 Peter teaches us this. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'll read it to you. If you can get there with me, you can. If not, let me just read for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I want to say this. It's one thing for God to resist the pride of the heathen, but God will also resist the pride of His people. Child of God, you never want to operate by pride. The Bible says that God hates pride. Pride comes completely out of the will and the choice in the heart of Satan himself. He exalted himself above God. Pride is something that every human has to deal with because it's in our nature. We are born arrogant. We are born prideful. Nothing wrong in taking pride in your work or taking pride in an assignment or taking pride in the way you do something. But pride is always wrong when it's used to exalt itself above God. And I have found that even God's people can operate in pride. Be assured that God will always resist pride. Pastor, I just feel sometimes in my life like a resistance. The first thing you ask yourself is, am I operating by pride? On the other side of that, God always gives grace to the humble. Haman, so filled with pride, he must not have understood that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit goeth before a fall. He must not have understood that God hates pride. No desire to humble himself. On the flip side of that, you have Mordecai, who had every reason to be entrenched with pride, but you find such a sweet and humble spirit. And God is exalting Mordecai. Now, here's where God's people get themselves in a problem. Please listen. When we don't see God, and we just think that our part of what we are going through is impossible for God to be involved in this. He's forgotten me, He's absent, He's mistreated me. It's in those moments that if I entrench that confusion, that question, that anger, and I let that come in through bitterness, and I let it build in me pride, that's when I make a terrible mistake as the child of God. That's when God no longer is exalting. That's when God is beginning to resist. Many times when people get into a situation where they just question whether God is there or not, instead of staying humble, they burr up with pride. It's One thing about burning up with pride is pride knows no bottom. Once it infiltrates my mind, it gets deep-seated in my being. Once it begins to spread forth, it makes its way into my very thought process, into my very hands, into my very personality, into my very vision, into my very way. And even though I may put a suit and tie on and come to church on Sunday, underneath, I can be filled with pride. God will allow you to go through many things in your life to test and try your faith. He will allow you to do that for two reasons, two specific reasons. For your good. By the way, God works all things for the good of his child and for his glory. The moment you don't stay humble and submitted and tender and obedient to God, and you burr up with pride, God's going to resist that. You think you have problems in your life. You really have a problem if God is resisting you. Pastor, how do you get away from that? You humble yourself before God. You bow down. You don't think more highly of yourself. You stay faithful, you stay trusting, you stay praising. And you remember something, it's my fifth point. Please write it down. God always keeps his promises. Verse number 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street, saying, "Thus shall it be done." Verse number 12, it says, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate. He went back to a position of humility. But Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. He told his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men. Now here's the title of our lesson. The wise know. Now listen very carefully. Then said the wise men and his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, you're a dead man. Why would they know that? You will find as you study that the wise men of this day, they were a very superstitious people. And they could already see that the stars were not aligning for Haman. They could already begin to feel the negativity of this. They could already sense that this is not good. Now, I would never preach to you a message based on how a superstitious man believes, but I absolutely would preach to you a message based on the authority of the Word of God. And God had made promises to the Jews that he would sustain them, that he would protect them, that he would keep them, that they would not be annihilated. And God was going to keep his promise to those people. What you need to understand and you need to learn through the book of Esther is God has made promises to you. Your problems and your circumstances and your difficulties do not negate God's promises. So many times we forget what God has promised to us. We forget the truths that he has given to us. We forget in the darkness. We forget in the difficulty. We forget in the discouragement. We forget in the depressive moments of our lives. That God's word makes wonderful promises that our God will do for us. And God always keeps his promises. I love the word hasted. It's very interesting. When the tables turn on Mordecai, when you come to verse number four, or tables turn on Haman, you come to verse number 14. It says, and while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman under the banquet that Esther had prepared. I mean, things are moving very quickly against Haman. I mean, I can only imagine Haman's head is spinning. How did I get here? Wait a minute, this is not unfolding the way that I thought it was. And I take from that a statement that I was told one time, and I'd like you to write it down or at least remember it. There will be times in your life when God may seem slow to move. But remember, when he does move, he moves fast. There will be times in your life where God will seem slow to move. But when he does move, he moves quickly. And we find this to be true in our lives so often. It seems like we're in trouble for so long, so long, so long, and then just all of a sudden, God steps in, and God does a miracle, and things are different, and we're surprised about how quick God moves. God does not move according to our timetable. He has his own timetable. He's infinite. And I will submit to you that sometimes God may seem slow in your life to move, but that does not mean that he's not moving. And most of the time, this is where we get in trouble. We think God's taken too long, or God's already past the deadline. God has no deadline. He's God. And because he's not moving quick enough for us, we sidestep, or we take things into our own hands. I love that word because Haman thinks he's in control. The nation has been panicked. They're expecting a deliverance. Esther's planned two banquets. Things may not be moving at their speed, and yet God is moving very quickly. Five things. God works in and through the night. God's people need to know that. Esther 6 teaches us that. Trust him through the night. Give him through the night. His faithfulness is new every morning. God sees my faithfulness when no one else does, and he will reward it. Stay faithful. Stay trusting. He has perfect timing. God knows men's hearts. God can use wicked motivation to accomplish his righteous will. Don't be intimidated by the wicked motivation of others. You have a Lord that is working and moving. He's ministering grace to the humble. He'll resist the proud. And God always keeps his promises. My conclusion, I have written down this statement. I know what you're thinking as we're reading the story. This jerk is going to get what he finally deserves. I want to show you the heart of God. Two verses. Would you find them? Ezekiel 33, 2 Peter 3. I'll be done after these. Ezekiel 33. You'll find that by tomorrow. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter's in the back of your Bible. Find both of them if you would please. Ezekiel 33, verse number 11. Would you please let your eyes hit it? God says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have wrestled with that verse. No pleasure in the death of the wicked. The earth has seen some wicked men, and I think we've celebrated their death. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and do what, class? Live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? 2 Peter 3, please, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should, what class? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. Haman is going to get what he deserves. In the next chapter, he's going to get hung on his own gallows. But God has no pleasure in that. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure in somebody dying physical death wickedly or a spiritual death wickedly. If Haman would have humbled himself, God would have saved him. I say that tonight because you might be here and you might not be a believer in the Lord Jesus. You may not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want you to know that God loves you. God cares for you. God died for you. And God wants to give you life. And God wants you to turn in your mind and open up your heart and receive the Lord. He's not willing that anybody should perish. Haman the jerk is going to get humanly what he deserves. But if he'd have humbled himself, Jesus the Savior would have saved his soul. Christian, God works in the night. He sees your faithfulness. He can use wickedness to accomplish his will. Be secured. He gives grace to the humble. He'll resist the proud. He keeps his promises. You can bet on that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, a lot happened in the night and unfolded in the day. A people went to sleep under a death sentence. A man is being plotted against in murder. And it looks like the people of God are losing. And yet during the night, provident God, sovereign God is working. Oh, so many times in our lives it seems dire. We need to be reminded tonight that you're working things for our good and you're working for your glory. And your mercies are new every morning. It's not time to develop negativity toward you. It's time to trust you. You see us, Lord. You know those independent victories. You know those struggles. You know those times. Nobody else may. You know what we're trusting you. You know the sacrifice. You hear the prayers. And I know you'll respond to them in a wonderful and powerful way. You give grace to the humble. So many times we're intimidated by wicked manipulation. But you can use wicked manipulation to accomplish your righteous will. You're not limited in anything, in nothing. You always keep your promises. You had made promises to the Jews, and you're going to keep them. And you've made promises to your children, and you're going to keep them. And we can trust you. Oh, sometimes you seem so slow in moving, but you're working, you're moving. And when you do move, find you move very quickly. You're never late. You're always on time and you're in the perfect time. The wise know that if God is in it, you're not going to beat him. You might as well submit to him. Lord, if there's somebody in the room tonight that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, or they're watching online, you have a heart for them. You want to save them. You want them to have everlasting life. You want them to know peace and salvation and joy. You have no pleasure in the death of wickedness. You have no pleasure in that. You're a loving, kind God. If there's somebody here tonight who doesn't know you, I pray tonight, God, that they'd give their heart to you. They'd open up their heart to you and confess you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior. And take you as the Savior that you are. Minister to us tonight. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Chose a little child song to go home tonight. You may have sung this when you were a kid. Do you ever sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands"? You'll learn it. We'll do two short little verses and we'll be out of here. Stand if you would. God bless you. See you Sunday morning.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world His hands, He's got the whole world. In His hands, He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He's got you and me, sister. In His hands, He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He's got the whole world in His hands. God bless you all. You are dismissed.